Welcome to the Intuitive Awakening Podcast. I'm your host, Deanna Riddick. I'm an author, teacher, and eternal seeker of truth. I am on a mission to spread metaphysical knowledge to everyone in an effort to help them awaken to universal truth. If you want to learn about spirituality, the occult, and all things related to metaphysics, you are in the right place. Hi everyone, welcome to Intuitive Awakening. My name is Dina. Thank you so much for joining me for this week's episode. I hope everybody had a lovely Christmas, whether it was virtual through Zoom or some other platform. I hope you had a great day off to relax and recover from this crazy year. My goal for today was really to talk to you about manifesting. This is a topic that I revisit over and over again. And if you're anything like me, you do a lot of research and you've probably watched a ton of videos on YouTube, read a lot of books on manifesting through various formats. And it's funny because when I sat down to put this episode together, I thought there's nothing new here that I'm teaching anybody. If there was one thing I needed to learn from manifesting, what would it be? And when I started to write, I realized, well, my first question would be like everybody else's. Why doesn't manifestation always work? I think that's something that we all experience and we want to believe that, you know, what we're told, the secret in these other books. Now there's like millions of books on manifesting. We want to really believe that this works. And sometimes we experience hiccups. Sometimes it never comes to fruition. Or sometimes there's sabotage, self-sabotage. And I'm not sure that most of us are aware that that's what creates the hiccup, creates unnecessary elements within the manifestation itself. So as I started to look more at self-sabotage, I found that the self-sabotage comes from where? It comes from your mind. And of course, I went further down the rabbit hole and started to study the mind, because I remember from the Kybalion. And if you remember, I did an episode on the seven hermetic principles some time ago. I think it was a two-parter, so it was quite lengthy. But I always revisit specific teachings over and over and over because there's wisdom in these teachings. It helps you to understand your place in the world and how the world functions, and just not just here on the physical plane, but as above, so below. And I think that by revisiting at least one of these, if not two or three of these hermetic principles, provide some understanding about manifestation. If we go back and look at the very first principle, it's the principle that all is mental, that all is mind, right? Which is super important for the purposes of manifestation, because we create everything at the level of the mind, and then our thoughts become things. But in order for us to bring heaven down to earth, our thought into some sort of form, we need to quote unquote, what I kind of say is, get your mind right. You can't create through a clouded and a doubt-ridden mind, a guilt-ridden mind as well. You're not going to receive what it is that you want. You may receive the complete opposite of what you want if you are manifesting with a mind that needs reconditioning. So of course, from there, I studied, well, what is your mind? What are the components of the mind? How does the mind work? And what's so important that we need to take away from studying the mind to help us here on earth? So going back to the seven hermetic principles, let's first look at the all is mind. And I want to say, from revisiting this principle, that we do live in a consciousness-based reality. Now, if the universe is completely a mental construct, then the mind must be able to mold it and shape it into an experience that can be that can become closer and even closer to lucid dreaming as your skills improve. Your reality is but a manifestation of your mind, a projection of your consciousness. And since all is mind, this means that you do not necessarily have a mind. It is that you are mind. Now, for our purposes today, for the purposes of manifestation, right? If the universe is all mind, and if we're all mind, then we should be able to mold and shape our thoughts into some sort of experience. And the more we're able to do this, the more we're able to master, right? Not necessarily master our environment, but really master our mind. It's really important to understand the inherent nature of your mind and its limitless power. It's really the first step towards gaining mastery over your own inner world. And in turn, you learn how to purposefully create that which you desire, to create an experience that you wish to have, because everything is, it's all in the mind. So again, like I said, I went back to this principle and I started to think about the fact that, okay, well, if we are all mind, well then what's in the quote unquote mind that we have? That's what I'm going to talk to you about today. You might hear some rustling papers. I did a lot of reading and a lot of writing, and there was just a lot of information for me to digest. The simplest way for me to approach this topic is to break it down into, first and foremost, talking to you about, number one, what the conscious mind is. Number two, what the subconscious mind is. Number three, what the superconscious mind is. And then after all of that, how to bring it back towards manifestation of your goals for the new year, because we all have them. We all have the vision board or the white poster board that needs pictures and words and letters and all that great stuff to create what it is that we want for the new year. The reason why we have challenges bringing forth, at least one of the reasons, bringing forth that which we desire, it is because we are sabotaging ourselves at the level of the mind. And we don't understand the processes whereby the mind works. So today, let's talk about what the conscious mind is first, so we have a better understanding. So, your conscious mind is also known as the rational mind. Your conscious mind is also known as the voluntary mind and the objective mind. So keep that in mind as we talk about this. You think with your conscious mind. And whatever you habitually think eventually will sink down into your subconscious mind. So with your conscious mind, and again, you have to remember that these, your conscious and your subconscious, they're not two distinct minds. They are just merely two spheres of activity within your one mind. Now again, your subconscious mind is the rational reasoning mind. It's that phase of mind which chooses. So for example, you choose your books, your home, your partner in life. You make all of your decisions with your conscious mind. Your conscious mind can also be labeled your self-aware conscious mind. And it's the first level of mind at which you attain self-awareness. So through it, you are consciously aware of yourself in this physical world as being personally separate from others and as having a distinct personality. It is the mind of your five physical senses, enabling you to consciously experience this external physical world. Your conscious mind is the seat of your capacity to reason and to use logical discernment. Now, it's your conscious mind that grants you the freedom to consciously choose the thoughts of your inner mental world. And since your thoughts are the cause of your outer physical circumstances, because remember, thoughts are things, you have to engage the conscious mind in order to discern right thinking from wrong thinking. Now, given its capacity to reason and to discern, your conscious mind has an incredibly important function. It is intended to be the guardian at the door of your subconscious mind, ensuring that only wanted and empowering messages are allowed through. keep that in mind because we're going to swing back around to the whole idea of your conscious mind being the guardian of your subconscious. Now, your conscious mind, it gives meaning to your experiences. It receives impressions from the outside world in the form of what we can call raw inputs. I would say raw data, really, that have no implicit meaning. It then modifies these inputs or this data by using emotion, perception, and associated memories to give them meaning. So, in turn, it sends this information, this adjusted data or this adjusted inputs all the way down into your subconscious mind, which effectively instructs the subconscious to accept them and to carry out the directions implicit within them. And now the problem is that most people, they don't spend time consciously evaluating these inputs, if you will, the emotions, the perceptions, the associated meanings, the memories. They don't spend time evaluating these, and nor do they really pay any attention to the meaning that they give them before this information, if you will, is allowed to pass from your consciousness to your subconscious mind. And when this happens, you have then allowed your subconscious mind to receive a personal belief system that is determining how you live your life, that has shaped your worldview, and thus affects your ability to manifest. Now, as I stated earlier, your conscious mind is intended to be the guardian at the door of your subconscious mind, ensuring that only empowering messages are allowed through that will eventually, you know, sink down into your subconscious. However, most people allow messages from society, from your family, your friends, from school, the media, whatever, to pass through to their subconscious mind unchecked and irrespective of their nature. This happens all of the time. And this is why we say that your conscious mind is, it's intended to be the guardian. Now, I'm going to refer to a book that's called The Master Key System. And this is by an author, Charles Hanel, H-A-A-N-E-L is how you spell his last name. And this is what he says about the subconscious and the conscious mind. So your subconscious mind, it doesn't engage in the process of proving anything. It relies upon your conscious mind to guard it from mistaken impressions. Again, your conscious mind is supposed to guard. It's supposed to be the guardian. I've seen it referred to as the watchman, who is supposed to guard what's coming into your mind from everywhere, from everything and anything. When the watchman is off guard, or when its calm judgment is suspended under a variety of circumstances, then your subconscious mind is unguarded and it's left open to suggestions from all sources. Again, as I stated, the problem is most people don't take the time to necessarily evaluate what messages they're getting, whether they're empowering or disempowering bits of information, whether those messages have a detrimental effect. People, a majority of us, just allow that information just to be passed through without, you know, sitting down and reflecting on what type of information we are actively consuming. So that's really the job of your conscious mind. Now we're going to move into talking about your subconscious mind. Your subconscious mind is also referred to as the irrational mind. It's also referred to as the subjective mind. And I've seen it also called the sleeping mind, which I think is completely appropriate. So as we already stated, with your conscious mind, it's supposed to filter out all this garbage, right? Before it's impressed upon the subconscious mind. Whatever you habitually think that your conscious mind is allowing to come through, it eventually sinks down into your subconscious mind,
which creates according to the nature of your thoughts. Your subconscious mind, it accepts an idea and then it begins to execute it. It is a very interesting truth that the law of the subconscious mind, it works for good and bad ideas alike. This law, when applied in a very negative way, it's the cause of failure. It's the cause of your frustrations. It's the cause of unhappiness, the cause of why, the reason why your manifestations may not be coming to pass. However, it's also interesting to note here that when your habitual thinking is harmonious and constructive, you do experience that success and that prosperity. Whatever you claim mentally and of course feel as true, your subconscious mind will accept and bring forth into your experience. The only thing necessary for you to do is get your subconscious mind to accept your idea, and the law of your own subconscious mind will bring forth whatever it is you desire, really. You give the command or the decree, and your subconscious will faithfully reproduce the idea impressed upon it. The law of your mind is this: you will get a reaction or response from your subconscious mind according to the nature of the thought or idea you hold in your conscious mind. Again, this is why it's so important for the watchman to always be on guard. It can filter out the negative language, the negative words, because if it doesn't, then your subconscious mind is going to be impressed upon. And if all of the information that it's taking in is negative, then it will naturally and automatically create something negative. Your subconscious mind accepts what is impressed upon it or what you consciously believe. It doesn't reason things out like your conscious mind, and it doesn't argue with you controversially. Your subconscious mind is like the soil, which accepts any kind of seed, whether it's good or bad. Your thoughts are active and might be similar, or we can liken them to the seeds. Negative, destructive thoughts continue to work negatively in your subconscious mind, and in due time will manifest into these outer experiences which correspond to them. You need to remember that your subconscious mind doesn't engage in proving whether your thoughts are good or bad, true or false, but it responds according to the nature of your thoughts or suggestions. For example, if you consciously assume something as true, even though it may be false, your subconscious mind will accept it as true and proceed to bring about results, which must necessarily follow because you consciously assumed it to be true. Whatever thoughts, beliefs, opinions, theories, or dogmas that you engrave or impress upon your subconscious mind, you shall experience them as the objective manifestation of circumstances, conditions, and events. What you write on the inside, you will experience on the outside. You have two sides to your life, the objective and the subjective, the visible and invisible, thought and its manifestation. Your brain receives your thought, which is the organ of your conscious reasoning mind. When your conscious or objective mind accepts the thought completely, it is sent to the solar plexus, called the brain of your mind, where it becomes flesh and is made manifest in your experience. Again, as I stated, your subconscious mind can't argue. It acts only from what you write on it. It accepts your verdict or the conclusions of your conscious mind as final. This is why you are always writing on the book of life, because your thoughts become your experience. Ralph Waldo Emerson said that man is what he thinks all day long. Your subconscious mind is the storehouse of your deep-seated beliefs and your mental programs. Your subconscious mind, it determines your overall mental frequency and thus your outer world circumstances through the law of attraction. And this is why it's so important for us to really understand these two spheres of the mind of what's kind of happening here. It's almost like your conscious mind is writing the computer code, right? And the computer is just, it's neutral. And it can execute only what you've given unto it. And if you've given it a virus, then all it can do is just, the output will be only the virus. But if you write this fabulous, very empowering, life-altering, helpful code, then that will be the output that's going to be executed. And again, this is so important for manifestation. Why? Because all is mind. Thoughts become things. This is something you should say to yourself all day long, especially if you're trying to create something. It is important then to kind of look at your subconscious programming, right? What's on the program? That's your mind. What messages, what information are you allowing to be programmed into your mind? Is there anything that you can filter out that will be helpful? Because if you don't, if you're prone to be quote unquote like a negative thinker, then it's going to have a detrimental effect. It will sabotage what it is that you are trying to create. Because everything happens at the level of the mind first. That is how everything is created. It is from your systems of thought. It is from your deep-seated beliefs and from your subconscious programming. So in order for you to attract to yourself what you desire, you have to learn to program and reprogram your subconscious mind, which takes time. It's not something that you can just do overnight. There are many, I think, books that I've read and many people that I've read, that I've met who have these, who have found quote unquote enlightenment, and then all of a sudden they are changed within the blink of an eye. And I believe all of that is all false. Everything takes time. And I've said this before, depending on your age, let's say you're 30 or 40 years old and you're a negative thinker, well, just think how many thoughts have been programmed into your mind to make you this negative thinker. That's 40 years worth of thoughts. It is going to take time to undo that way of thinking, but it also takes effort, discipline, and desire. Okay. We're going to move on to talking about the superconscious, your superconsciousness, essentially. So your superconscious mind is really the mind of your higher self. Superconsciousness, it's the highest degree of self-aware consciousness. Now, your superconscious mind sometimes has been referred to as the observer. It is all-knowing. It is all-creative. It's really your true self. It is all-powerful. And some people say that it is really your God self. It is absolute love. And it is the you that is the eternal observer. And from the perspective of your higher self or your superconscious mind, it recognizes the fact that the outside world that you're experiencing, this reality that you feel like is super real in this world, it's really a persistent illusion. It knows that your circumstances, whether they're desirable or undesirable, are simply a projection of what's going on in the inner world, which is a product of your belief system. Your higher self or your superconscious mind, it knows that your reality is really the mirror that allows your consciousness to experience itself. And with this knowledge, you know, your true self wants to help you to awaken you to the reality that what you're experiencing every day is just a projection of your own thoughts. This higher self, as I said, has access to a lot of information, has access to all the information and is available to you. But in order to reach the higher self, purification is always necessary first. And when I say that, I say purification of the mind or cleaning up of a belief system that is downtrodden, a belief system that holds you back, a belief system that contains a lot of disempowering thoughts, right? But the higher self is always there, and it has knowledge to help you learn. It also has knowledge to help you unlearn the thinking of the world. And when I say the thinking of the world, I mean the thinking of the ego's dominant thought system of the world, because this is essentially what you will be undoing so that you can know. And when you undo, that means you have to purify the subconscious mind, but you also have to consciously keep that watchman at the gate to consciously select empowering information, to consciously filter out whether it's negative media, negative people's messages, even your own ego dialogue that will keep you, again, downtrodden, that will prevent you from being able to create what it is that you wish to desire. It's that negative inner dialogue that is persistent, that is constantly trying to keep that negative program running, and not allowing a space for the true inner voice, the voice of the higher self to emerge, to kind of, if you will, course correct in the mind. So bringing this all back, you know, we do have these 3 degrees, if you want to call it, of consciousness: the subconscious mind, the conscious mind, and the super conscious mind that we're working with. I would say 2 out of the 3 most of the time, because most people don't spend time sitting down to reflect on the information that they're consuming. But it's not just information that you are consuming every day. It's the program that already exists in your mind. And just think about it. Everything that you were taught when you were younger, that was that you were indoctrinated into year after year after year after year, it has shaped, like I said earlier, your worldview. But what's interesting is that your worldview comes from a child, in a way, because these are all the thoughts you were taught, or this was all the information that you consumed and beliefs that you were told to have as a child. So now you have a child that's been running the show, that was taught to never question, if that's how you were raised. So purification means questioning the dialogue that you have that's always running in your mind. The subconscious mind never sleeps, ever. It's always active. And it already is programmed now. The older you get, the harder it is to undo the subconscious mind programming. It is a net result of all of your beliefs, of all the dialogue. And in order to begin to flip the script, you have to be very mindful of what you're telling yourself every day, how you're responding to things every day, but also to the people that you have in your life, and again, the media that you're consuming, and how you're participating every single day. This takes a lot of work, right? It means you're always constantly checking in the thoughts that you have, and you have to, in order to, again, change the programming, to reprogram the mind. And again, this is something that isn't going to happen overnight, but it is a worthy endeavor to be in constant communication with the higher self that can be reached through the subconscious mind if you create a space for it, if you kind of rewrite the code. But again, it's you that has to rewrite the code. And don't forget that your reality is always going to be the mirror of the reality that you're experiencing. The 3D reality is a mirror of what's going on in your mind. I want to share a quote with you that I think is super helpful to what we're talking about here. It's by James Allen, and I think he captures this whole idea of your mind and thought and power by this quote the best. He says, "Mind is the master power that molds and makes, and man is mind, and evermore he takes. The tool of thought and shaping what he wills brings forth 1,000 joys, 1,000 ills. He thinks in secret, and it comes to pass. Environment is but his looking glass." Now, keeping all of this information in mind about the conscious mind, the superconscious, and the subconscious mind, we can kind of bring this back to talking about manifesting for the new year. And one thing I want to bring to your attention after having looked at all this stuff, manifestation is an inside job. What this means is that you have to do a lot of conscious, I would say, reprogramming for you to be able to manifest what it is that you want to bring here in the new year. I know that a lot of people, again, say ask, receive, or ask, believe, receive. Well, yes, ask. The belief is where we get caught up. And again, this is based upon our subconscious programming that we have that self-sabotages us every step of the way. One minute, you could be looking at your vision board and say, okay, you know, I am manifesting this. I am grateful that $500 is coming my way. But then the next minute, you're thinking, well, there's no way $500 can come to me. How could it come through? You know, I haven't done this or that. There's no path. I never get what I want. Good things never happen to me. And then you go down the rabbit hole of hell of negative thinking, right? And that's because you're programmed to think that way based off of all the conscious information that has been inputted into your subconscious mind. So this all does go together. So again, in order for you to take the next step to bring what it is, your thoughts into reality, the reprogramming is, it's necessary. It's also necessary because it helps you to release yourself from limiting beliefs. That's the other thing that we have to do here, because most of our programming contains a lot of limiting beliefs. And then you ask yourself, well, where did these come from? Are you actually able to pinpoint who put that idea into your mind? Who made you believe that over the years? Did you ever sit down and question that? If you can actually actively sit down and do this, you may be able to change your way of thinking. Maybe you'll ask, well, why not me? Instead of, well, why me? That can change a lot for one person. However, you may need to do this over and over and over again to reprogram your entire mind. Like I said, manifesting is definitely an internal job. It requires being honest with, again, the root cause of your thinking. I said this at the beginning, I said this in the middle, and I'll say this again, thoughts become things. What you're experiencing in the 3D world every day of your life is only a reflection of the inner world, what you tell yourself. And that's why self-dialogue is so important. If you are trying to create anything for the new year, if you are going to be one of many who are sitting down to write your goals, whether you're going to journal for the year, or if you're going to manifest through candles, or if you're going to manifest through a vision board, I want you to heed the words that I'm about to tell you, because this is super important to the practice and the art of manifestation. The creative power of any particular thought is determined by how persistently you have that thought and by the strength of your conviction associated with it. The more you feel a particular thought to be true and even know it to be true, the greater its power to attract its corresponding circumstance into your physical world through the law of attraction. So again, if you plan to, as an example, use a vision board and you put all your pictures, right, whatever it is you're trying to manifest, a new job, a new partner, a vacation, or whatever it is, and then the words, and then you have like a mantra or a phrase that you're going to say to it every day, it is important to remember that persistence is key. It can't just be a one-off. So if you did your vision board and then maybe once every 3 months you'll say the mantra, well, then it doesn't have the same creative power as your habitual thoughts, because you have to persistently say what it is that you're trying to create, whether it's I am grateful or whatever phrase you choose to pick. You have to say it persistently so that you can really feel it, and then the feeling turns into knowing, and then the stronger it gets, it is able to attract what it is that you are trying to bring forth. Again, if it's a one-off or if it's a passing thought, it doesn't contain the same creative power. Now, if you're one of those people who has a lot of difficulty and if you feel very, what's the appropriate word here? If you're prone to negative thinking and you're trying to manifest something, you know, for the new year, if you find yourself sinking into negative thinking, as you're supposed to be saying all of these affirmations associated with your vision board or whatever it is you're using, it's really important that you instantly replace those dark and unwanted thoughts. So to instantly neutralize the creative power that even that negative thought holds, right? Because your negative thoughts hold just as much power as your positive thoughts. You can calmly and deliberately replace it with its opposite, positive equivalent, period. So for instance, if at some point during the manifestation process, you start to feel unworthy or you feel like I'm not good enough, this is never going to succeed, I suck, good things don't happen to me, this will never happen. If you start falling into that rabbit hole, you can mentally replace that thought with the opposite. So I am more than good enough. I am more worthy. I am deserving of X, Y, and Z. Isn't it wonderful that this is going to happen for me? What have you? And then for anything else happening in life, you can also use the same affirmations throughout the day to kind of overcome or really overwrite these negative thoughts at the time. It's important to kind of rewrite that inner dialogue to change, you know, again, that subconscious programming. So just to kind of recap here what we've been redundantly saying throughout this whole call, because I just want to make sure that it is understood, it's super important to get at the root as to why you have these, the beliefs that you do, who and what shaped your worldview. Notice the inner dialogue that you have. Is it consistently negative? Is it always bringing you down? Is it telling you that you're unworthy and good things will never happen for you? Is it telling you that you have no talent? If you really want to create something for yourself, not just at the new year, at any point in your life, you have to get to the root at the cause of the negative thinking. So you can identify it and then rewrite the script in your mind. There are many methods to reprogram. There are many methods to unlearn. Some people need to use positive affirmations every day. And that is one way. Some people use, I think it's like subliminal messages before they go to sleep. That supposedly helps as well. There are many different schools of thought to help you retrain your mind and unlearn the ego's thought system. If you are in the process of getting your vision board ready or whatever tool that you use for the new year, you know, do set achievable goals. Be honest and practical about those goals. Do work with the super conscious mind to help you create, but also do your part. And your part is belief. Anything that you believe can be and will be depending upon the conviction of that belief that you hold in your mind and in your heart. If there's a belief that you wish to have, we see people in our lives who appear always happy, who go through negative situations, right? But it doesn't really faze them. They always can see the silver lining in the situation. If that's not you, but you want that to be you, it can be you. But it forces you to be honest about how you think and why you think. And sometimes we have people in our lives who are negative, worse than us, that think more negatively, that need to be let go of because they are hindering you. And they are harming you, and they are not helping you. They are complicit partners in your negative thinking. And in order for us to, what I always say is purify the mind, is to let go of that which doesn't serve, you know, you to your highest good. I really hope today has been super helpful for you guys. I'll put links down for the books that I read for today's topic. I know it was a lot of information and it was quite redundant, but I think it's super important to really understand how your mind works, especially if you want to be a, you know, willing participant of creation, at least here in the three-dimensional world that we live in all the time. And especially if you really want to create something for yourself, but you always get stuck or you never seem to bring it about, or there's always an excuse, you know, to where it doesn't manifest. Or if you always, you know, find that something sabotages it, and it doesn't quite come to fruition, always know that usually it's coming from what's happening at the level of the mind first. So if you can attack that and address it there and heal that aspect of your mind, you will see the net result in the physical world. Thank you guys for listening to today's last episode of 2020. I hope everybody has a great start to the new year, and I'll see you soon. Bye.